All right, this lesson is called The Pastor and the Church Building, or The Pastor and the Church Properties. And this might not be the most important message in these series of messages on the pastors, but nevertheless, as a pastor or somebody who's assisting a pastor or working in the ministry, you've got to have a place to meet. And the place ought to be nice. I've often thought that if I had a restaurant, I would try to do two things. Number one, I would try to serve good food. And then number two, I'd try to have a nice atmosphere. I think those are the two key ingredients for a restaurant to succeed. Good food, nice atmosphere. In a spiritual sense, that's what the church is about, serving spiritual food. We ought to work hard on sermons and lessons and serve good spiritual food that's truly of the Holy Ghost. We also ought to try to have a nice atmosphere for people to meet in. When we started our church almost 24 years ago, we started in a house, and then we went into literally a rat-infested storefront that had pink walls and just holes punched in the drywall. We ended up ripping out all the drywall and hanging new drywall and literally taking rat nests out of the walls. And we told the landlord that we would make his storefront look as nice as it ever had looked. And we kept our word. We made nice bathrooms in the back, nice little rooms, and we hung nice drywall and suspended ceiling and fluorescent lights. And we made it look as nice as we could. And years and years and years later, when that building burned down, long after we had left, but if you go by it, it still looked the same way on the inside as when we had rebuilt it. And I told our church back then when we were starting the church, I used to put right up on the wall behind the pulpit this verse of Scripture, Luke 16 and verse 12, which says this, "And if you have not been faithful in that which is another man's, who shall give you that which is your own?" And I told them, we're going to be faithful with what is another man's, so that God will give us our own church building. We left that storefront. We went to an old school building in a little town called Farnham, New York, and we basically kept the same promise with that landlord. And we took care of his building. We kept it clean inside and outside. We kept the lawns mowed and the bushes trimmed and the floors swept and everything. We tried to keep it as clean. We kept it a lot nicer when we left than when we had moved into the building. And as a result of that, God ended up giving us a nice building here in Eden. It's an old building. It was built in 1866. We paid $75,000 for it originally. Then that was in 1989. 1996, we had an addition that was, I think, around $30,000, $35,000 between there somewhere. And onto the south side of the building, and then on the north side, we had an addition in 2003 that was around $52,000 or something like that. And we currently have a facility that's about 10,000 square feet on the inside, so it's a pretty good size facility compared to the average church in the world, but it's not like a big mega church. We've tried to keep it simple. We've tried to keep it as inexpensive as possible, but as nice as possible. And the reason being is we want to create a nice atmosphere, not only for adults, but for little children to come to receive the food of God's Word. And so, Pastor, never think that you're above helping out in the caring of the church building and property. Never think or become so proud that you can't clean the bathrooms or sweep floors or wash windows or clean carpets or whatever. Notice a couple Old Testament texts. Now, of course, these texts are talking about the temple, which was very, very valuable. There was only one. Yet from it we can see how important it is, the place where we meet, to have fellowship with God. In 1 Chronicles 22 and verse 5, it says, "And David said, Solomon, my son, is young and tender, and the house that is to be builded for the Lord must be exceeding magnifical. of fame and of glory throughout all countries. I will therefore now make preparation for it. So David prepared abundantly before his death. David felt that the house of the Lord needed to be a place that was exceeding magnificent. It's not wrong for us to want to have the church building to be one of the nicest buildings in our town and one of the nicest kept buildings in our town. In 1 Chronicles 29 and verse number 2, David continuing says, "Now I have prepared with all my might for the house of my God." And then he goes on and he talks about all the things that he gave in preparation for his son building the house of his God after his death. And notice David's words. He said, "I have prepared for this house with all my might." Imagine that. "With all of my might, I have prepared to build this house for the Lord." Now, again, that's the temple, which was different than the local church. Nevertheless, we have an example of how important that was. The prophet Haggai, sometime later, said in chapter 1 of his book, in verses 3 through 11, "Then came the word of the Lord by Haggai the prophet, saying, Is it time for you, O ye, to dwell in your sealed houses, and this house lie waste? Now therefore, thus saith the Lord, consider your ways. You have sown much and bring in little. You eat, but you have not enough. You drink, but you are not filled with drink. You clothe you, but there is none warm. And he that earneth wages to put into a bag with holes. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Go up to the mountain and bring wood and build the house, and I will take pleasure in it, and I will be glorified, saith the Lord. You looked for much, and lo, it came to little. And when you brought it home, I did blow upon it. Why, saith the Lord of hosts? Because of mine house that is waste. And ye run every man unto his own house. Therefore the heaven over you is stayed from dew, and the earth is stayed from her fruit. And I called for a drought upon the land, and upon the mountains, and upon the corn, and upon the new wine, and upon the oil, and upon that which the ground bringeth forth, and upon men, and upon cattle, and upon all the labor of the hands." It sounds like God was pretty extreme there in his judgment on Israel, because they were all living in the text in real nice houses theirself. But God's house was a reproach to the city. And he said, go up, get yourself some wood, build a house. I will take pleasure in it, and I will be glorified. It gives God no glory in our towns if our churches don't look nice, if they don't look clean, if they don't look well cared for. Gives God no glory at all. But when people pass by, it in itself should be a testimony to the people of our town that we care about it and that it is the house of the Lord. So do the best with what you have, whether you're out in the country with a little church building or in the city with one of the old brick city churches. Be good stewards of the house of God. 1 Timothy 3 and verse 5 and verse 15, those two verses, talk about the church as being the house of God. Remember, today the human body is the temple of God, but the church is the house of God, and there's a difference. And both are New Testament teachings. The church where we assemble, whether we're renting a place, whether it's a little storefront, or you're using an old school building, or whether you own your own church building, that place is the house of God. And so make it the nicest place around. Take care of it, because it belongs to God. It's the house of the Lord. And take care of it out of respect for the people's hard-earned money that went into it. Pastors always respect people's hard-earned money. So let's be good stewards of the church building and the property outside. And here are some ideas. Now, I will forget to cover it all, but you can catch the spirit of this message with these suggestions. I want to start by saying Roman numeral number one, the outside. Let's consider the outside of the church properties and the outside of the building. And as for the outside of the building, I would encourage you to paint the building or use some vinyl siding and then keep it clean. Power wash the building several times a year. Watch out for things like cobwebs that form around the lights. I saw a white church recently that has outdoor lights, and the area about 6 feet around the lights are just totally black with cobwebs. You know, and every time I go by, I feel like stopping and saying, you know, somebody should just, you know, get a power washer out and probably take 10, 15, maybe a half hour, minutes or a half hour to just get those down. I don't know why. I don't think I'm the only one that notices things like that. Now, some people notice things like that. If you can make it look as homey as possible, so people will be attracted to it. Also, it helps nowadays to use aluminum trim and aluminum rain gutters and downspouts and vinyl windows and so on to make it a lot easier to maintain. Now, let me talk about six things regarding the outside. Number one, lawns. Keep the lawns cut nicely. If possible, keep it watered and green. Use a fertilizer or weed killer so it just looks like nice grass. Rake up the grass clippings. Number two, sidewalks. Concrete is the most durable. However, even in concrete, there are times where you're going to need to fill cracks or replace parts that have heaved up so as not to endanger anyone who may be walking into the building who might trip over the cracks. Concrete is said to last about six times longer than blacktop, but it is much more expensive. Number three, the sign out front. The sign out front is the first impression of the church. It needs to be a nice sign, perhaps illuminated. If it's the type where the messages can be changed and the letters can be changed, then change the messages at least once a week. Have you ever gone by a church where the same message has been up for 6 months? What a waste of a ministry. We have a two-sided sign that faces either direction as people are driving down the road, and where our church is located, literally thousands of people go by it every day. We put a different message on both sides so that they get different messages as they're driving by, and we change it at least once a week. We use our teenage young men as part of their ministry. That's part of their ministry, is to change the sign and to sometimes put scripture verses out there, sometimes to put wise sayings out there, other times to announce events that may be taking place at the church. We often meet people in the community who say that they read their sign every time. They look forward to reading the sign every time they go by the church. So have a nice sign out front. Start a fund for a new sign if you have to. Number four, gardens. Keep them well watered. Use Miracle-Gro or some kind of a fertilizer on the flowers so they look like the nicest flowers in town. Keep the bushes trimmed. Rake out old dead leaves from around the bushes and each fall. Put in fresh mulch yearly. Plant some nice flowers. Find somebody in your church who has what we call a green thumb that can make it look sharp. That will also help to impress people as they go by. Have nice borders, maybe stone borders or wood borders, and get somebody who knows what they're doing in that area. Number five, the parking lot. If possible, do the parking lot in blacktop. Save up some money for this fund. Seal the blacktop once a year, and at least once or twice a year, mark clear lines for the car stalls and the handicap spaces. Resurface the parking lot if it is all cracked up, or at least fill in the cracks with crack filler. Now, the goal is to have one parking spot for every five people that can fit into your auditorium. Or at least that's the rules in our part of New York State. For instance, if our auditorium can fit 250 people, we are supposed to have at least 50 car stalls for that. Number six, winter. Keep all exits shoveled from snow, for that's the law. And any churches that are listening that live in the northern parts, it is very wise and it's a good law in case there's a fire and people need to get out of your building in a hurry. You're going to want to have every single exit open so people can get out. Keep shovels and ice melt at each door for church members to pitch in. And hire someone who really knows what they're doing to do the plowing and the snow removal for those that are northern churches. Make sure they are faithful and trustworthy and they get the job done before the church is open and that they are aware of your church schedule. Let's go on to the second part now of this for pastors. And let's go inside. Roman numeral number two, inside. And I have quite a few more points, and these will be a little bit shorter. Number one, entrances. Entrance doors should swing out by law. If possible, try to get crash bar exits on each and every door. Realtors say that when people go to buy homes, the first thing they look at is the front door. It is what often impresses people the most and helps with the sale. Churches ought to have nice front doors and nice entranceways. I would also encourage you to have doorkeepers at the doors of your church whenever possible to welcome people in. In Psalm 84 and verse 10, it says, "For a day in thy courts is better than a thousand. I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness." There ought to be something special about the entrance into the church. The psalmist said, "I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord." Number two, exit lights. Inside of the church, there should be illuminated exit lights that are clearly labeled so people can find doors in the case of an emergency or if a building begins to fill with smoke. Change the bulbs immediately after they're burnt out. One of the things I always notice at other churches is how many exit signs are burnt out and nobody ever notices it or changes them. Number three, fire extinguishers. Have these clearly marked and visible in case of a fire. Number four, fire alarm systems. These are necessary in our part of the world when it comes to new construction. And it might be wise to have a fire alarm system in your church as well as a fire escape plan that each teacher is aware of should something happen during a service. Number five, sprinkler systems are also required in new construction of buildings. Number six, doormats. Try to keep fresh and clean doormats at all entrances. Again, doormats are a first impression. Number seven, carpet. Try to clean the carpet at least two times a year. Invest in new up-to-date carpet. Orange carpet from the 1970s will turn people off. I want to encourage you to get it out. Have some nice vacuum cleaners for your church and use them often. Also a carpet cleaner in the event of emergencies and something is spilled or somebody throws up on the carpet. Have some nice carpet. Number eight, psalm books and envelopes. Straighten up psalm books and envelopes after every service. Throw out old folded envelopes and notes that people have left behind. How about investing in some new psalm books? Some churches you go into, the psalm books look like they're about 40 years old. And the pew Bibles look like they're 4 years old with pages missing and parts of the covers ripped off. Remember, these things speak to those who are attending your church. Number nine, coat racks. Keep them clean. Keep them adequately supplied with hangers. Gather up the clothing that, gather up the clothing that gets piled on the top of the coat racks and get rid of it. There's a lot of charities in town that use clothing, have some kind of a policy in your church that if clothing's left for a month, it's going to go to the Goodwill or the Salvation Army or somewhere. Have a lost and found. People love to throw things on the top of coat racks. They like to put coffee cups up there. And old papers, and even books, and magazines. And they begin to accumulate things. Number 10, cleanliness. Paint all the walls once in a while. You can't go wrong with white. Constantly paint at your church if it is a busy church. Patch holes and cracks in the walls and paint them constantly. No one seems to know how cobwebs grow. Even scientists don't, but they do, and they grow everywhere. In walls, in corners, on chandeliers, you need to dust them. Now, of course, this message is not telling pastors to do all this, but to keep an eye on these things and designate these things to other people. Or get them trained so as to see that. Window sills are notorious for getting dirty and collecting dead flies. I was in a church one time where I'm almost confident that the same dead flies were on the windowsills 1 year later when I went for a special meeting there as there were a year before. And it was right as soon as you entered into the church. It was a small little church, maybe about the fourth of the size of ours. And I remember thinking to myself, it can't be that hard to keep this place clean. And yet these things are noticed. Keep your windowsills and trim nice and painted or stained in polyurethane so they can be cleaned easily. Number 11, windows. Try to replace each window in the church eventually with vinyl replacement windows. They're able to keep the building quieter from outside noise. They're also easier to wash as they are made to tip in nowadays. Where our church is located, it is in a light industry area, and it's impossible to keep our windows clean. They have to be cleaned often, and it sure helps having vinyl replacement windows that can tip in and be washed. They also will help slightly with heat bills, being a little bit better insulation than single-pane windows or the old storm windows or stained glass windows. Number 12, curtains and shades. You should have seen the curtains in this building when we first moved in. I think they had been hanging there for 50 years. They were brittle and falling apart. And if you're not careful, we can just become used to these things. And so we ended up putting in new windows and new shades that are nice. But we need to consider, how old are they, and do they match the carpet? Do they match the decor? Try to have a color scheme. And if you don't know anything about that, there's somebody in your church that knows about interior decorating that can help with these things. Number 13, decorations. How long have the same old decorations been on the walls? What about pictures or Bible verses? Sometimes those can hang on church walls for 50 years. And nobody ever changes them. Change them a few times a year. Number 14, plants. Are the plants in the church, if there's living ones, are they old and dying? If they are, get rid of them. Are they taking up space that could be used for people and for seating or for a choir? If so, get rid of them. I was in a church one time, or several times I've been to that church where there are so many plants around that I figured out once if they removed the plants, they could add 30 seats to their auditorium. Or have a choir or something. There's just plants everywhere. And, you know, I'm talking about the big, tall, stand-up type of trees and so on and so forth. And I thought, you know, if this church wanted to grow and they just got rid of the plants, they could put people where those are. And I figured out about 30 seats more. I go into buildings, and that's just how I start thinking, you know. And we ought to get rid of them. Number 15, banners. When we put up banners, we should try to make them look nice. Sometimes banners are necessary to advertise Daily Vacation Bible School, missions conferences, revival meetings, memory verses. Change them once or twice a year. Watch out for your mission boards and mission letters. These are usually not looked at. They just become part of the furniture. But some people do pay attention to them, and they should look nice. And it should give the air that missions is important to this church. Try to make those displays look nice and interesting. Number 16, the pulpit. Have a nice, presentable pulpit built. There should be a dignity about it. Do not use the pulpit as a garbage can. Get a nice one that commands respect as people look at it. Number 17, lighting. Indoor lighting must be adequate. It can be nice. It doesn't have to be too classy. It can be inexpensive. But it needs to be adequate and bright. Check out the lighting in every single Sunday school room and bathroom, as well as the auditorium of your church. Is it nice lighting? Is it adequate? Number 18, heat. Again, for churches in the northern part, have an adequate boiler or furnace for the cold weather. Try to save up money towards utilities, knowing that they will rise during that time. Keep your heater or boiler maintained. If it's forced air, change the filters often. If it is a boiler with registers, keep the registers cleaned of dust. Dust can actually begin to cover the registers and work as an insulator, trapping heat in rather than letting it out. So vacuum out the registers so that they will be more efficient in letting the heat out. Number 19, air conditioning. If your church can afford air conditioning, install a central air conditioner. If not, maybe a few units in the walls of at least the auditorium of the church. This can attract people in the hot summer months, and especially southern churches. It would be very beneficial. Now, of course, as I'm going through these things, there are people in different parts of the world that may be listening to this who are just satisfied to meet in a hut somewhere. I realize that. Unfortunately, this message is from an American point of view, and I don't think too many Americans would go to a building like that. Unfortunately, they should because of their love for Christ. They should be willing to go meet anywhere. But we live in a society where we got to kind of try to reach people where they're at. I guess maybe that's what Paul talked about when he says, I become all things to all men that I may gain the more. And so having a nice building is something that is essential in certain parts of the world. Number 20, bathrooms. The bathroom should be nice and clean and painted. Always have adequate toilet paper, paper towels, soap dispensers. I don't know if you've ever been in a church that's always out of paper towels or toilet paper, but it seems like I've been to a few in my life where I've wanted to say to the pastor, you know, why don't you designate one person just to keep an eye on this at all times. What about air fresheners or exhaust fans? Also, are there directions in the church for new people to find them easily? It is the first thing a person wants to know when entering into a strange building is where are the bathrooms? Are they clean? This makes an impression on people. This takes a lot of work and a lot of washing often. So check the bathrooms yourself before every single service. Number 21, the piano and organ. Spoil your piano players. Cater to them. They are very important. Get them piano books, the spiral notebook kind, that can make them finding pages very easily. Get the piano tuned several times a year. If you have junk pianos in side rooms, get rid of them. They are taking up space that people could use. As for your good pianos, polish them and make them look nice outwardly. Number 22, chairs. Try to match your chairs throughout the church, especially folding chairs, or at least try to match the chairs for your particular class. This will look orderly and help children keep attention. Number 23, pews. Pews should be washed or refinished or padded. Or you can replace pews nowadays with padded chairs. They are so nice and versatile. They are very comfortable for people to sit in, and you can actually get more people in chairs than you can pews. People demand less space with chairs than they do with pews. Observe the pew racks. Are they cleaned out of old bulletins and gum wrappers? Are the hymnals and Bibles in the pew racks straightened up? Are they right side up, or upside down, or backwards? Go around and straighten up the psalm books and the Bibles. Number 24, the platform. The platform is a holy place. Keep children off of it. Make it look first class. Have some nice carpet on the platform, or at least some finished hardwood. Use nice flower arrangements, nice chairs, nice music stands. Have a nice choir loft. This is where people will be focusing most of their attention while they're at the church. Number 25, sound system. Invest in a good one. Do not have a junky sound system. The sound of your voice in preaching and teaching the Word of God is one of the most important things going on in the house of God. Find one that makes the voice of the singers and preachers clean, clear, and distinct. Not muddled. Use more treble than bass when people are singing or preaching. Make it loud enough for everyone in the back row to hear easily. A little too loud is better than too soft. Use a sound man who shares your vision to be heard and knows what he is doing. Number 26, the baptistry. First of all, get a baptistry. I've been in a lot of Baptist churches that have no baptistry. Get a baptistry, keep it filled with water, anticipating souls being saved and being baptized. Keep it chlorinated. Keep it heated if possible, especially for churches in the north. Have some non-clinging poly robes, especially for the ladies to wear to protect their modesty when being baptized in public. Have towels ready in case they forget. Don't let your baptistry ever get dry. Number 27, flags. Flags should appear clean and sharp, if not replace them. Dirty, worn flags are a disgrace to the country and the church. Many people who come to your church will be more patriotic than others. And we ought to have nice flags in the church. Number 28, the balcony. You may not go up there as a pastor often, but others do. It also should be clean, dusted, and lighted. There should be adequate psalm books, Bibles, and offering envelopes in the baptistry. Old bulletins and notes should be cleaned up and thrown away. Number 29, waste baskets. Have a wastebasket in every room. Be sure the bathrooms have wastebaskets. Empty these often. Hire a man to do it. Or be sure there's adequate volunteers who will go around and empty the wastebaskets often. Number 30, the vestibule or entranceway. Keep that clean. Again, this can be a very inviting place for people who walk into the church. It's again one of the first impressions that they have. If you have track racks or coat racks in the vestibule, keep them looking nice and first class and maintained. Be careful garbage does not pile up on the top of the coat racks. Change the gospel tracks once in a while and try to keep the literature flowing in and out of the church. Make sure the literature racks are filled up and look neat. Number 31, rooms. Every room should be clearly marked with numbers. Each door should have a window in it. This is to protect your teachers from any accusations of being alone with children in an unseen place. Try to have matching rooms at least for each, try to have matching chairs at least for each room and a nice table. Churches are renowned for having embarrassing tables. A lot of the tables that churches use, I think they've been using for 50 years, and they really ought to be discarded, and some nice new ones purchased, even if you can only purchase them one at a time. Try to replace all of the tables there. There's a lot of nice tables that they're making nowadays also that are made out of plastic, which are much easier to move around, and women can do it too. Replace them one by one. Have a number on every single room. Have a clock in every room and try to keep the clocks in sync with each other, so every teacher knows when to dismiss and when the next service is starting. Rooms are for multi-use. Often the same room in a church can be used two or three or four times a week for different ministries. Therefore, designate different boards for different teachers, or teach them that all boards need to be shared equally. Have dry erase boards as well as bulletin boards in each room. Encourage those who make bulletin board displays to change them once in a while. And sometimes, if we're not careful, you can go into a church and see the same bulletin board up for 2 years. Nobody ever looks at it. And should somebody change it, it might startle somebody, might give them a heart attack. But that's the point. It would get their attention towards something you're trying to teach. Encourage first-class visuals in every class. Encourage the teachers to change the visuals often. Children in our country are especially used to million-dollar Disney World productions and entertainment. There's no way we can compete with that. Oftentimes, our teachers then just take a magic marker and scribble something on a piece of poster board, and then stick it up with one thumbtack that it's kind of cockeyed hanging there on the wall, and a child comes in and sees that week after week after week. This is embarrassing. Students should think, this is first class. This means a lot to my teacher. He or she put a lot into my class today. Everything about our church building, inside and outside, should say this to not only children, but adults. Buy your visuals from the accounts of the church Sunday school or children's church offerings, or make them up with a computer. Find graphic designers in your church who can help you make nice posters and pictures. Hand out nice bulletins or notepaper or booklets or tracts. Make them look good. Keep rooms painted. Keep windows and shelves clean. Keep cabinets in order. Keep the baskets emptied and materials from piling up like junk on windowsills. Have a resource center room for all teachers. And finally, number 32, the nursery. The nursery should be one of the nicest rooms in the church. It should be clean, and toys, shelves, cribs, doorknobs, etc. should be sanitized often. Have a sink in there with running water and a soap dispenser and enough paper towels and hand sanitizers and a microwave for heating up bottles. Have sanitizing towelettes. Have nice curtains and shades on the windows to provide privacy for nursing mothers. Also, if possible, have a monitor in the nursery where they can watch the service and hear what is being said or sung. Perhaps you can invest in a paging system for parents whose children need attention, so a worker doesn't have to leave the nursery and go find the parent but can attend to their business. These things are very important, as children or parents are very apprehensive with their children, especially when they're babies, especially the first child. I want to close by reading a verse out of Galatians 5 and verse 19. It says this, "Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not enter into the kingdom of God." We have in this list 18 different works of the flesh. One of them is uncleanness. Old timers used to have a saying, it was this: cleanliness is next to godliness. And that's how the house of God ought to look inside and out. We ought to strive to keep it clean. Why? Because you may have some first-class people come to your church who believe in cleanliness. And they ought to be able to come to a place where it's clean. Now, it takes a lot of work with a building that's 10,000 square feet, almost. It's really, if you can imagine, it's really more than a one-man job. And so we need to pitch in around here and do what we can. If you see paper laying around the parking lot, pick it up. You don't need special permission for that. Or paper laying around the rooms downstairs, or a board that hasn't been cleaned in a while, clean it up. And pastors should never think they're above doing these things and trying to help out and set an example for cleaning. So wherever you men end up in church, if we end up planting churches and you're helping over there, keep that in mind. Somebody's got to keep the place clean. Somebody's going to come in, and that's going to send a message to them, a good message that may help even win some people to Christ, may help keep some people coming. Sometimes we get compliments around here about how nice the church looks, even though it's 140 years old, but how nice the church looks. And then there's other times I know we need to improve. These are things that this might not be the most important subject, but again, if I had a restaurant, I'd do two things. I'd have a nice atmosphere, and I'd serve good food, and that's what would keep people coming back. All right? So it's probably more important than we think. Yeah. Let's pray. Father, thank you for our time. Help every one of these men and myself the rest of our lives to be conscious of the house of God. May we never be rebuked through prophets like Haggai, Lord, who say how our houses and yards look so nice, but the house of God is neglected. And just put it in our hearts, Lord, because everyone here, it's our hard-earned money that's keeping this church going. It's their home, Lord. It's their place of fellowship, as well as anybody's. And Lord, it's your house. This is your house. And we've already dedicated it to you, so help us to do our part to make it clean and look nice. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.